It was awesome. But I'm thrilled. And I wanted to tell you in the video there, my fifth daughter, Amber, who you saw her in the wedding dress, that she was the fifth one to come up, that's actually her second husband. Her first husband passed away, and she was married 3 months. He was 24, and they were married 3 months when they found out he had terminal cancer. And he lived 2.5 years with the cancer, and that was they had a most unusual marriage. He passed away in 2010 of July, and a year ago, March, she just remarried. Her second husband's first name is Matt also. And so she's expecting her first child in August. And so God has been incredibly good. But her first husband, Matthew Guzzi, was also a preacher. And so it was really neat. They both served. Oh, thank you, babe. They both served in Christian work until he passed away in New Jersey. And so anyway, so that's why you see her in a wedding dress, and it's a little bit different for her now. But anyway, well, I'm going to jump right in, and I'm excited to get started. And I love to hear y'all laugh. Y'all are really cute. This is a cute group, so I'm excited to get to be with you. Y'all are fun. I can tell already. We're going to have a good time. I'm excited about that. I want to speak to you. I was so torn. It is so hard when you come in and trying to get to meet everybody and know. And this is a big group and it's a diverse crowd, so there's a lot of things going on. And we ladies, we do have a lot of, we're notorious for all of our issues, okay? We just are. And so God really, I really prayed and begged God for wisdom in what to bring today to meet the greatest need I possibly could. I got two shots at you, you know, two shots. And I want to, and my heart's gone so many different directions, so many things I want to say and want to help with and be a blessing. But tonight I felt like what I needed to kick off with and start with was how women think and why. How women think and why. That's a subject. That really is. And I have up here, I want you to see. Do you already have? Okay. In our thinking, some of our thinking, the devil's got women targeted for destruction. If he gets you, he gets your husband. If he gets you, he gets your children. And the truth is, he found out in the Garden of Eden what worked. And he's not wasted any time in perfecting what worked with her, the most perfect woman ever created, is what will take you and me down. And so we got to understand what we're up against. We're up against a lot. And I want to say, I know in a church like this, and this is a military church. I know most of you, many of you you're married to, how many of you, your husbands are in the military? A lot, quite a few of you. Okay, I want to say to those of you who have husbands, and not necessarily military, it can be law enforcement, it can be truck drivers, it can be anything that where a man is away from home for an extended length of time. Let me just say to you, God's called on you to be good soldiers for Christ. Because not only do you have all the normal things that women have to deal with, all the normal issues when all of our husbands are at home, but you got to deal with issues while they're away as well. And so you've got a lot on your plate, but you're going to have to be tough. And you've got to be tough-minded. And the devil, your mind is his battlefield. That's his playground. And that's where he's going to mess with you. So that's the reason we're going to start off talking a little bit about women and our struggles in our thinking. Here you can see, and with it behind me, it's a little bit hard, so I'm going to have to read it. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. What I want to do is give you some keys to understanding. I think half the battle is knowing what you're up against. If you know what you're up against, then you know how to fight. And we've got some things we've got to look at. I want to show you a picture. Let's see if I go the right way. Do I go? Oh, you're going to do it? Oh, I point it that way. Do I push it up or pull it back? Pull it back. All right. Oh, I'm so technologically challenged. It's pathetic. And so I just know, and I'm the one that will ruin it all. I'll push it the wrong way, turn it off, you name it, you know. And so up here you see a tree, okay? And this tree, anybody recognize this at all? You know what this tree might be? It's called a strangler fig. a strangler fig. My husband and I were actually traveling in Florida, and we were down in Florida, and we were walking through a park, a state park, and we came across this, and it was such an odd-looking thing. I had to research it and look it up and figure out what it was, and it was amazing what I learned about this thing. You know, God is so good because He gives us so much to teach us, you know, and the Bible says, "Doth not nature itself teach you?" There are a lot of things in nature that hold object lessons for us. And this is cool to teach your kids, okay? This is cool. But what this does is a strangler fig, a bird, a mammal of some kind, a squirrel, will fly over the top of a strong, healthy tree, and it'll drop a little teensy-tiny seed into the top of that healthy tree. And the seed lodges in a crack or a crevice, and then it sends down shoots down the tree. These vine-like growths begin to climb down that tree. It's like a little parasite, but it's a seed. But those little vine-like shoots begin to search for the ground. And they start off really teensy-tiny. But as they grow down that tree, they get bigger and they get thicker and they get longer, and they begin to wrap around that tree, and they're climbing down the tree searching for the ground. That's amazing to me in and of itself. I mean, how does it even know to do that? That's incredible. But at any rate, they get all the way to the ground, these vines do. And then once they reach the ground, they go into the soil, they put off roots. So now it's going to grow from the bottom up. So as it puts down roots in the ground, then the vines begin to grow back up the tree, and the vines begin to put off leaves and grow leaves. And then those leaves get real big, and they actually block out the sunlight to that healthy tree. What's happening is that eventually those vines will strangle the life out of the healthy tree. They'll strangle it until the healthy tree becomes not only dead, but hollow on the inside. And this strangler fig has literally sucked the life out of a healthy tree. Very interesting. What does God have for us? We are very prone to embracing false concepts. Satan can implant a teensy, tiny little seed in our brains, in the top of our heads, and from that little teensy-tiny false concept, shoots are sent out, and he builds on that false concept and wraps that concept around our lives until everything that we do, everything that we think is really wrapped around that concept. What do I mean? We women are notorious for thinking certain things. For example, I want to tell you how some of the things that we think. And this is across the board, unless we've been taught differently. One, we do not trust what we do not see. We do not trust what we do not see. Women are notorious for trust issues. When I worked at the college, and I only worked at the college, I was a stay-at-home mom. I didn't become the dean of women at our college until my baby girl was in college herself. And then for 2.5 years, I got to serve with the college girls, and I loved it. It was awesome. But I want to tell you that probably 80%, if not more, of the girls I dealt with in counseling had been molested when they were young. And nearly every girl that had any issue at all came into my office. They said to me, "Ms. Hooker, I've got trust issues." And I said, "We all do. We all do. We struggle." Why? Because we don't trust what we do not see. We don't trust what we don't see. Secondly, we trust our perceptions more than we trust truth. We'll trust our perceptions more than we trust truth. I cannot tell you how many times a lady would come in the office and want counseling or something, and I'd say, "Well, the Bible says," and she'd say, "Oh, no, Ms. Kerr, I know the Bible says that, but..." Have you ever heard that? You know, "I know the Bible says that, but you just don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand how he talked to me. You don't understand the problem. You don't understand the issue. I know the Bible says that, but..." We don't trust what we don't see. What does that mean? That means that if we cannot see how that principle can really work in our lives, it might have worked for somebody else's life, but if we can't see how it would work in our lives, we don't believe it will. And so we trust our perceptions more than we trust truth. There is a part of us, amazingly enough, I can turn this down, right? I keep thinking I'm talking into it and I'm not. What happens is there's a part of us that thinks our mind is its own separate entity. I know the Bible says that. Yes, I want to do what God says do. No, I don't want to do what the devil says do. No, I know that would be wrong, but I just can't. I don't want to do that, but I just don't see how. I'm just going to do what I think is right. There is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. But I cannot tell you how often in dealing with us women, we think there's a middle ground. Well, I'm just going to do what I think. I'm just going to do what I feel. I just can't see that. I just don't know. I just got to do it my way. And I want to say to all of us, and I want to talk to our heads for a minute, because if we're not doing this, we are doing this. There is no middle ground, okay? So you've got to be very careful what little seeds are being planted in our heads. What are we trusting? You see, we have a tendency to want to see it and then trust it. But there are a lot of things that God tells us in His words that we have to trust whether we understand it or not, whether it makes sense to our heads or not, whether we agree with it or not. It's not an option. We have to trust what we cannot see, and that's a choice. And choices are going to determine your destiny. Choices. I think if I ever get frustrated, I get frustrated in dealing with women who refuse to acknowledge truth. And so what happens is they'll say, yeah, I see that, but I don't agree with it. But the evidence is laid out right here before you. If you don't do this, this is what you're going to end up with. Well, I just don't know. I see what you're talking about, but I just don't agree. I want to say, oh, my soul. Okay, we've got the evidence that proves it, and yet we still won't trust it. What do I know about us women? I know, number one, we don't trust what we do not see. Number two, we trust our perceptions more than we trust truth or evidence. Three, we are very black and white in our thinking, meaning this is what we do. This man hurt me, therefore all men are bad. We don't shop that way. We don't. The truth is, if you go down to the grocery store and you were to pick up a bad gallon of milk, okay, and it's spoiled, and you get all the way home and you find out it's spoiled, you're going, you know, fee, fi, fo, fum, and I've got to go all the way back to the store, and I've got to get this, you know. But what do? We go all the way back to the store, and we trade it out for a good gallon of milk, right? We don't say, this milk is bad, I will never drink milk again. We don't do that. But we do about men. Interesting. Now, it is no accident that more than 80% of the girls I dealt with had been molested. Because you see, Satan's got our number. And he knows how we think. And when it comes to men and it comes to trusting God, you see, girls are hardwired to connect. We are. And as a girl sees her father is often how she sees God. So if he gets a girl hurt at a very early age, and probably the majority of molestation takes place between the ages of 6 and 10, then she grows up really not trusting. It's a double whammy. We already have trust issues. Now add hurt to that. Now we really got trust issues. That's by design. It's no accident that that happens that way. So what happens is a woman tends to think, this man hurt me, therefore all men are bad. Now I want to ask you, is that just? That's not just. And yet I cannot tell you how many women struggle in their marriages because of a hurt they experienced by someone else when they were younger. And they'll take that into their marriages and not trust their husbands based on what happened to them by someone else. Who's talking to our heads? What little seed got planted in there? If that is not just and not fair, then why do we embrace it? How do we do that? How is that right? And yet we do. And that's across the board. If you find yourself struggling with that type of thing, you're not alone. You're not weird and you're not crazy. You see, Satan knows what he's doing. And he's lost no time doing it. He knows how to take you down. Our nation will only be as strong as the families that comprise it. Our churches will only be as strong as the families that comprise it. And the weak link is the woman. Now, you are not the weak link because you're intellectually less intelligent. You're not the weak link because you're physically weaker, necessarily. I know a lot of women that can take a man down, okay? I know some women, if they just sit on him, they can take him down. You are the weak link spiritually. Because, number four thing about a woman is you do not possess natural discernment. We do not possess natural discernment. What is discernment? The ability to see and perceive evil. That's what discernment is. The ability to see and perceive evil. We do not possess natural discernment. Let me ask you something. Who did Eve stand toe-to-toe with in the garden? Who? Did she know? She didn't. She stood toe-to-toe with the devil himself. Think about that. She stood toe-to-toe with the devil himself and had no clue. But the Bible tells us that Adam was not deceived. He knew exactly who she was talking to. She didn't. Interesting. The Bible says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. That means you do not possess natural discernment either. May I tell you that what happened that day in the garden, Satan discovered who the weak link was? Because why didn't Adam step up to the plate? Why didn't he stop her? Why did he let her talk to him? Why? I'll tell you why. Because he didn't want a conflict with his woman. Your man can go out there and fight a war. He can shoot guns at enemy soldiers. He can go out there and, I mean, he can go through no telling what, but when he comes home, he doesn't want to fight with his woman. He doesn't want to. And a man will sell his soul for peace. Why? He wants to please her. He loves her. He doesn't want to have to tell her no, and he doesn't want to have to tell you no. And that day in the garden, Satan said, "Woo-hoo-hoo! I got them now. I get her, I get him." And that day in the garden, God came along, and he put the man over the woman. And women all hate that word, submission. Ooh, that's a dirty word. Why do I have to be submissive to that man? What if he's wrong? I don't understand that at all. And we just gripe and we fuss and we complain and we manipulate and we go nine ways around everything to not have to. And we'll say, "Well, Miss Hooker, you just don't understand." I don't have to. God does. He knows what you're up against. God didn't put that guy over you because he's better than you. He didn't put that guy over you because he's more intellectual than you, or because he's smarter than you, or because he's more powerful than you. He put that guy over you for your protection. He's your umbrella of protection. Why? Because he can see the evil and you can't. We can make a choice and truly think we're doing right and be so wrong. Do you know what? Think about this with me for a minute. Eve was in the garden that day, and she chose the fruit. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to open up to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see this because this is cool. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. I can just hear me. Shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And look at this. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. I want you to see something powerful in here. First of all, I want you to see that the enemy's strategy, if you please, he discovered it that day. He's going to use it on you, okay? That's why it's so important that you know this book. I cannot emphasize to you enough that you get in this book. You read this book, absorb this book, meditate on this book, learn this book, chew it up, swallow it, let it come out your fingers and your toes. You've got to have this book. Because if you don't, because the first thing he did when he came to her is he sought her knowledge of the scripture. Didn't God tell you? He said, Yea, hath God said? He's trying to find out what she knows so he knows how to manipulate her thinking. He wants to see what he's up against, and he's going to come to you the same way. Didn't God say? And he'll always twist and distort the truth, always. You see, Satan has no power over you except the power of persuasion. That's all the power he has. But he can persuade. And he always mixes truth with lies. If you don't know this book, you can be persuaded. That's why it's so important that we trust what we cannot see. Because Satan knows we don't naturally trust. So if we don't trust this book, he's already got us in the palm of his hand. We become puppets on a string. He can mess with us. You're up against a very real enemy with a very real agenda who wants to take you down. So he sought her knowledge. And she answered him. She said unto him, Well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said not to touch it, lest we die. Now, did God tell her that? Did God tell her not to touch it? Where'd she get that from? Well, the Bible says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. So I said, one day I was with my husband. And we were broke. We had nothing. I mean, we were so stone cold broke. We didn't have a penny. But I was dying to get out of the house. Ever been there? And I wanted to go shopping. But I wasn't going to buy anything. I just wanted to look. If we don't get our Walmart fix every once in a while, we go stir crazy, right? And so I remember my husband looked at me and he said, because I asked the Lord, every time I asked the Lord, explain this to me. How was she able to do that? And a lot of times he'll bring things to mind that I did. And these were the things that came to my mind. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, and I remember my husband looked at me and he said, Joe, we have no money. Don't even think about buying anything. Don't even think about it. I was like, I'm not going to. I won't do it. But what happens when you go looking? You're tempted. And then that's the one time you'll see that sale, that $100 dress is down to $9.99. And you're going, but surely we've got $10 somewhere, you know. That's what happens. Well, then I also thought about the time I was driving my car. And I pulled up to the college, and I was running late. Ever been running late? With seven women in the house, we were always running late. And so I pulled up to the college, and I was running late, and I needed to get inside. Chapel was about to start, and if I parked in the student parking lot, which is where I was supposed to park, I'd be late for sure, because I got to run from student parking all the way inside. You know what I'm talking about, right? So anyway, so there's this big bus garage that is right by where the door is to go into chapel. And oh, there was nobody there. And it was so tempting. If I could just pull up and park in front of that bus garage, I could run inside and it wouldn't be late, right? But I got there and I pulled my car up. And in that split second of decision, I looked up and there was a sign up on that garage. I don't know if it's still there or not, but it said, "Don't even think about parking here." I went, okay. And so I had to go away. I thought, oh my goodness. But the Lord took me to those things to show me, I think, what happened, you know, in that day, because I think she was window shopping. You know, that garden was huge. It was like 9 miles by 9 miles, and that tree was in the middle of the garden. I mean, she would had to have purpose to walk by that tree. But she tells us it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired. She'd been window shopping. And I think that's the reason Satan ended up in that tree, because he was watching to see what was going on, and he said, I think I know how to handle this situation. And so here he is. I don't think it was any accident that he just happened to be in that tree, happened to be there, and she just happened to walk by. I don't think so. I think Eve was window shopping. That's the reason she said to the Satan that day that she couldn't even touch it lest they die. I think her husband came along and said to her, he saw her getting mighty close, and he said, "Eve, don't even think about it. Don't touch it, Eve." And being the typical woman, she was like, okay, whatever he says. Isn't that what we do? Yeah. Oh, he's just a worry wart. Oh, I'm just looking. Interesting. Very interesting. But here it says, it goes on. So he sought her knowledge of it. And then, so he makes God to be severe. Mean old nasty God. Mean old nasty God that he would put a tree in the middle of the garden and tell you not to even touch it. Now, Satan didn't do that. But by not saying anything, he let her think it. He let her come to her own conclusions. Don't we do the same thing? Don't we? Sure we do. You go down to that church down there. You go down there to that church. Don't they have rules down at that church? You can do this and you can't do that, and you can do this and you can't do that. Boy, I don't want to go to that church. Too many rules down there, you see. Interesting. God, Satan's never changed his tactics. What worked back then still works now. And so it is. And so here he said, the serpent then came along, and then he says to her, "Ye shall not surely die." He just called God a big fat liar. Just bold-faced liar. "Ye shall not surely die." Eve, come on, really? God knows that the day you eat this fruit, you're going to be like him. And he don't want you to be like him. You're going to be as a God, knowing good and evil. Eve, you can make your own decisions. You can make your own choices. Nobody has to tell you what to do anymore. It's your body. You have your rights. You got your mind. You do what you think is best. You make your own. You can be like him. You can be in control of your life. Has he changed? You know, the whole feminist movement is based on that premise. Wonder what little seed has gotten planted in our heads, and who are we listening to? Who's talking in our ear, you see? And so he comes to her. So God, he's made her question God. God is to be suspect. God is suspect. He's not to be trusted. God is, she's made to be skeptical of God. He's holding out on her good things that's her right to have. He's keeping things from you, Eve, keeping things from you that you're right to have. Mean old nasty God puts this tree in the middle of the garden and tells you you can't touch it lest you die. You're not going to die. He knows the day you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him. He don't want that. He's keeping good things from you, Eve. Mean old nasty God. And we live in a day and age right now where that's exactly what is being said. You know, that God you serve, is a hate monger. He's a male chauvinist pig. He's a patriarchal. It's a patriarchal religion. And women are just put down and squished and dumped. Who told us that? Is that what this book says? No. Who are we listening to? What's in our brains? If what you hear and what is said is not in accordance with this book, may I tell you this is right and that is wrong?
That's right.
Okay? But here Satan came along and made her suspicious of God, skeptical of God, God severe, and then look at what happened. I'm going to tell you the fifth thing about ladies. A woman will justify, reason or justify what she is doing, even if she knows it is wrong or that God himself says don't do it. She will reason or justify why her way is right and it has to work, even though the Bible says it's wrong. We can be notorious for reasoning away God's word and justifying our actions. I know the Bible says that, Mrs. Hooker, but I just think I need to do it. I was counseling with a girl one day. She was 19 years old. She was dating a guy who was bad news. He had already been into trouble. He had already been expelled from college. He had been a junior in college, and she was this brand new baby freshman coming in. And he was infatuated with her. He wanted her for himself. And so here her family, her pastor, lots of people had put in lots of money and invested in her college education. 3 weeks before school is out, 3 weeks before college is ending, he's trying to talk her into running off with him. And I wanted to just shake the teeth out of that guy. And if I could have gotten hold of him, I think I would have. Because I want to say, you scumbag. You dirty, rotten scumbag. You know, all that's been done, you're going to pull her out of college 3 weeks before college is out. She loses her entire semester. You're going to run off with her against her pastor's wishes, against her parents' wishes, against all, you know, anybody that knew him. All to satisfy his lust, which he knew that's what it was. He just wanted what he wanted the way he wanted it, and he wanted it now. But that's not love. And I called that girl in, and I told her that. I said, sweetheart, please don't do this. Please don't do this. And she said, but Mrs. Hooker, I've prayed about this thing. I've prayed about it. I've prayed so hard about it. I just think he's God's will for my life, and this is what God wants. I said, he may be God's will for your life, but I can tell you right now, this isn't the timing, if it is. And the fact that he's asking you to do this is the height of selfishness. He's asking you to give up everything for him. What is he giving up for you? I said, that makes no sense. And she said, but I've prayed. And I said, honey, I'm the answer to your prayers. Will you just listen? But she wouldn't. She ran off with the guy. And I told her then, I said, I hope I'm wrong. But I'm afraid 10 years from now, you're going to regret the decision you've made. Why? But she reasoned and justified what she was doing, even though nothing lent itself to that being the right answer. We women are capable of reasoning away what God says. And you've got to trust what you do not see. You've got to realize you do not possess natural discernment. So you have to trust those that God has put over you. Your pastor, your husband, authorities, because they will perceive and perceive the evil that you do not see or perceive. If you do not trust those that see it, you can be led down the wrong pathway. And you can truly think you're doing right and it be truly wrong. I had a lady say to me one day, she said, Mrs. Hooker, but what if my husband is wrong? And I said, how would you know? How would you know? Let me tell you something. You have to fear God. God has done everything for a reason and a purpose and a plan. And we cannot reason away his word. We can't, or we're going to be in trouble. And if God places someone over us, it is for our protection, then we're going to be very stupid and foolish if we don't heed what God has done. You say, but Mrs. Hooker, what if the authority really is wrong? What if pastor's wrong? What if my husband's wrong? What if the men that God has placed in my life who do see and perceive evil, what if they're wrong? I'll say, number one, you don't know that. You don't know. So let me tell you what to do. Don't stand toe-to-toe with him and battle him on the issue. You'll be cutting your own throat. You'll be cutting your own throat. Get alone with God. Fall down on your knees and on your face before Almighty God and say, oh God, change my heart or change his mind. If you truly think he's wrong, change my heart or change his mind. 99.99% of the time that I prayed that and did that, God changed my heart and showed me, had we gone the way that I thought we should go, it would have been wrong. We have to trust what we cannot see. We have to trust truth and evidence more than our perceptions. We have to be very careful that we're not black and white in our thinking and not punishing other people for the hurt somebody else caused us. Just because some guy fell to the wiles of Satan and did something wrong doesn't mean the next guy is going to. Understand me? We have to be very careful. We have to understand that we don't possess natural discernment. And then we have to make sure we are not reasoning away or justifying what we want to do when we are told it is in opposition to this book. We got to get our thinking right, okay? We got to get our thinking right. And then six, women have two great needs. Women have two great needs. We need, one, security, and two, to be valued as important. That's our two great needs. We want security, and we want to be valued as important. If a woman doesn't feel valued or significant, she will seek out a source that makes her feel valued. If she doesn't feel secure, she will seek out security. I believe with all my heart that one of the reasons that women went into the workforce and left the home was because they wanted security for themselves and they wanted to feel valued as important. So often we don't stay in our homes because we don't feel valued in our homes. We actually seek out jobs and seek out the workforce because out there we get pats on the back, we get accolades, we get a paycheck, we get esteemed, we get to boss other people around, and it makes us feel good about ourselves, okay? It boosts our self-esteem. Well, let's go back to that girl that's been hurt by a man many, many years ago. Then you understand how the devil builds on that concept. This man hurt you, therefore all men are bad, therefore you shouldn't trust any man, you can only trust yourself. Therefore, don't trust anybody else, only trust yourself. Even God, you know, that's question markable. So you got to take care of yourself, you got to provide for yourself, you got to make sure that you make the money, that you pay the bills, that you do everything, because nobody else can be trusted. Trust yourself. But the vulnerability was found in the woman. Why? Because she trusted herself. And when she trusted herself, mankind fell. She trusted her perceptions more than she trusted truth. She saw the tree that it was desired to make one wise. The Bible says she saw it. May I tell you? Eve had never seen death. Now, God had said, the day you eat this fruit, you will die. She had never seen death. Think about that. She wasn't a bad lady. There was no sin. It wasn't like there was a process of thinking that took her where she was. This all happened in one fell swoop. So she had never seen death. She trusted what she saw, not what she hadn't seen. Therefore, she trusted what she saw. So how did she reason away or justify God's command? That always blew my mind. How can God say in the Bible that Eve was legitimately deceived? That Eve was legit. How can that happen? How many of you got kids? You ever made a batch of cookies? And you made a batch of cookies and you looked at your little one and you said, "Don't eat the cookie. You eat this cookie and you will die. These cookies are for something special. These cookies are, I'm taking them down to the church and they're for something special, or we're giving them away or whatever. Don't eat the cookie." Now, you might can have one later, but not right now. And you walk away and you come back 10 minutes later and that kid has got mouthful of cookie and there's chocolate chip all over there. What are you going to say? You're going to look at that kid and you're going to say, "What did I tell you to do?" And the kid goes, big old crocodile tears. "Well, I know you said not to eat the cookie, but I really didn't think you meant not to eat the cookie. I just thought maybe you meant, not right now, but we could eat one later. So I thought if I ate one now, it would be all right, because I'm eating one later anyway. So, you know, what difference is it making?" And so you're like, "Oh, I looked at you eyeball to eyeball, and I said, don't eat the cookies. I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to. I'm so sorry." You know, and so her like, "Really? Really?" But yet God said, "Don't eat the fruit." But the Bible says that she was deceived. That doesn't compute in my brain. How can you give a direct command and she didn't get it? She didn't get it. What does that tell me about us women? We can do the same thing. We can hear a direct command. Well, how come we don't get it? Because we can reason it away. "Oh, I don't think he really meant that. Well, I know he said those kind of things before, but you know, he's just extremely protective. I mean, really, what is death anyway? My husband has a tendency to exaggerate all of the details. And what we'll do is we'll just kind of reason it all away. And we don't take it as a direct command. And so what happens is then we reason it all away because our perceptions say, "Hey, this is a good thing. I mean, surely God didn't mean it was that bad. Surely God's never given us anything bad. How could death be bad? I mean, look at this fruit. It's beautiful. I mean, it can make us wise. It's just, I really want that. I'm sure God didn't mean it the way he said it. My husband Adam is probably just exaggerating again. Surely it's not that bad." And she took it. And she ate it. She didn't ask. She took it and she ate it. She didn't wait. And we can be the same way. "I'm just going to do it right now. I'll tell him later. If I do it now, it's easier to get forgiveness than permission, so I'm just going to do it now." And we can do that. And so what happened is, that's exactly what happened. He was with her. He didn't stop her. And so it was that the greatest act of love took place right after that. He loved her. He loved her. And when he saw her take that fruit and eat, he knew God's law. He knew he wasn't deceived. And when she turned to give him the fruit, he had a choice to make. Why did he take the fruit? The Bible says Adam was not deceived. He took the fruit out of love for her. He represented the first Christ. He didn't want to live alone. He had been alone. And when God gave her to him, it was wow. He didn't want to be alone again. He didn't want to lose her. He martyred himself. "If she's going to die, I'll die too. I don't want to be without her ever again." And he took that fruit that day knowing full well what he was doing. And I want to say to you, you wield a tremendous power over the men in your life. You are the neck that turns the head. You can nag him and gripe at him, and he will do whatever you want him to do because he doesn't want a conflict with his woman. He will even lay down his life and sell his soul to the devil himself for you because he wants to please you, and he doesn't want to be alone, and he doesn't want to be without you. And what he did that day is he showed the devil his greatest weakness, and that was the love of his woman. It's an amazing thing to me, but we wield a powerful influence over our men to our destruction and the destruction of our homes and our families. You see, a powerful influence over them. You see, he took it, and I want to tell you something about us. A woman can do wrong, truly thinking she's doing right, and be very sorry after experience teaches her that it was wrong. A man will do wrong knowing the consequences of the choices he makes. When a man sins, very seldom is he ignorant in his sin. When a man sins, he chooses it, knowing what he's doing and willing to pay the consequences for it. Very interesting. But because of the influence that we have, you see, it's very important that we know that book. It's very important that we stay on our knees. It's very important that we beg God for wisdom, that we don't stand toe-to-toe with our husbands. And I'll tell you how we do it. Oh, honey. Well, can't we do it just this one time? You always say no. I don't understand. Let's just do it this one time, please. Or we'll say, you're going to make that decision? Well, why are you going to do it like that? Well, wouldn't it be better to do it like this? Well, I think we ought to do it like this. I don't know about that. Why don't you go ask the preacher? No man wants to conflict. If you don't believe in him enough to follow him and trust him, he will give up his headship to you. And many of us are guilty of letting that happen. But you must be wiser than the serpent. You understand me? You must be wiser than the serpent. God has a very real plan for our lives, but we have to trust what we cannot see. We have to trust truth more than we trust our perceptions. We have to recognize the fact that we do not possess natural discernment, and it is very important that we put ourselves under someone who does have natural discernment. We can acquire discernment, but it comes through listening to our preacher and hearing the word of God taught and obeying it, even when we don't agree with it because it doesn't make sense to our heads. And it comes from asking our husbands at home. Did you know that the Bible teaches us if any woman has a question to ask her husband at home? Why? Because he may not be a spiritual man, but he knows the right answers. And if we'll ask him, we will gain discernment. Everything's on purpose. Now, we've been taught not to trust men. We've been taught not to trust men via television shows and magazines and movies and female family members who have been hurt by men. Men are the bad guys. Men are the enemy. Men are the ones who seek to put women down and make us slaves. Or we've had a bad experience ourselves with one or more men, rape, molestation, physical abuse, or ill treatment. Or we just don't understand men, how they think, what makes them tick. And so, you know, because the other two things, we don't care. We are women. Hear us roar. And you see the signs up everywhere. Women rule. Did you know, according to Daniel, that it will be women that put the Antichrist into power? Women
women.
Did you know that 70% of all divorces are instigated by the women? By the women. As a child sees his father is how they see God. So if daddy's not in the home, what happens? And a lot of us who have husbands who are gone a lot or travel, you got a double whammy, because what's going to happen when you have to be dad and mom? Then the children don't even have someone they can respect, unless we are the bridge builder between that child's world and dad. Unless we're deferring to dad. Unless we're pointing the children to dad. Unless we're saying things like, let me ask daddy. Let me get him on the phone. Let me get his wisdom about this situation. Let's talk it over with him. Let's don't make any major decisions till we talk to daddy. Why? Because the devil's got your number. Now I want to ask us, every one of us, what seed has been planted in our heads? What vines have shot down and are trying to strangle us? Did you recognize any of the things I mentioned in your own life? If so, we need to deal with them. You're the hand that rocks the cradle. The fate of our nation does not lie with the soldiers. The fate of our nation is right here in this room. If we're not good soldiers, if we don't fight the enemy on the home front, he will win in the big leagues. We got to deal with it, us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the time to get to be with these ladies. Oh God, we need you. We need you to just meet in our hearts and our minds. God, help us to tear out the wrong thinking, the false concepts, the things that are against your word. Help us to trust what we cannot see. To trust the men that you've placed in our lives who have discernment. God, we need you. We need you because we've got a very real enemy who wants to take us down, who wants to do a number on us. And oh God, if there's a hope for this nation, it starts right here. It starts with me. It starts in my mind. The battlefield of my mind. Oh God, help me to do your will as you would have it do if you were in my shoes. Thank you and praise you for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, don't anybody look around, but I just want to ask you, if the Lord touched your heart in any way, form, or fashion, would you just slip your hand up for me just so I can see hands all over the room? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can put your hands down. Oh, Father God, I don't know what's been dealt with in the heart of any woman here specifically, but you do. Holy Spirit, you are so good. You know how to stick your finger in our eyeballs and get our attention. I pray you bless these truths to our hearts and our lives and deal with each one of us just the way we need to be dealt with. Humble us, Lord, and make us submissive to your will. We thank you and praise you for it. And we ask these things in your precious name and for your sake, that everything that's done and said will be done for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. All right. Thank you.